All right, we're going to do part two of hope. What is faith? Somebody. Total dependence on God. What is D? That's D, dependence on God. What is hope? Devotion to God. Devotion to God. We had a pretty simple session last time. I hope you guys had a fruitful journaling session. The decision is yet to be seen. We're going to see in 2010 if 2010 will be a year where we became devotees. Next time you see a devotee of whatever religion, next time you see a Muslim bowing down five times, every time you hear the call to prayer by a Muslim, think about your devotion to Jesus. Ask yourself, are you a devotee? Are you one who has that as your hope? The only hope is that Christ will be formed in us, that we will be like Jesus. That is the only way that the Father can present a bride worthy for the bridegroom. Consider that concept. The Father is in heaven and He's got His firstborn son, Jesus. And He's dreaming of the day when He can wrap things up in this world. He can call everybody home and He can present a bride to His bridegroom, Jesus. And He has to present, like any good father would, a bride that is equal, a good, compatible match to Jesus. Hence, the bride must be conformed to the image of Jesus. Hence, we must be like Jesus so that God can say, Jesus, meet your bride and equal partner with you. Jesus will rejoice at this bride who is just like Him in purity, in the things that make God who He is. That vision justifies why we must have this as our hope. Because we want to be that select bride of Christ whose eyes are only for Jesus. That will be the person who will be in the bride of Christ. So that is why we choose that as our hope. I want to make this session a little bit more practical and kind of draw in some of the concepts of how do we translate our daily lives into this. How do I fix my hope on just being more like Jesus? How does this work? How does this play out? It works well in the journal. It works well theoretically. How does this play out in our daily lives? Another way of putting that question is this way. Consider this the second question. How does Jesus become more attractive than sin? How does Jesus become more attractive than sin? If Jesus is more attractive than sin, I will choose Jesus. The problem is, sin is more attractive than Jesus. Now I can say, make Jesus your goal. I can say, look, you've got to fix your eyes on that goal. But you will tell me, and I will tell you too, in the moment of temptation, sin is mighty attractive. On Sunday morning, sin seems something that I really should put away. But on Tuesday afternoon or Tuesday night, when the friends ask us to go to the parties, or when I'm alone on the internet, sin seems very attractive. What is this process through which God says you can grow? There was a question yesterday. How do you grow in maturity? Let me answer that question. And it's going to tie in faith and hope. It's going to tie in faith and hope so that you can, at the end of the session, understand how faith and hope connect with each other. How faith should drive hope. And how our dependence on God drives our devotion to God. And God uses a mechanism to make that happen. And I want to point that out from James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. James chapter 1 verses 2 through 4. It is not a pleasurable way that some of you may think, God, I have faith, I want to have hope, I want to really be only about you. You say, you tell God that, God says, okay, I'm going to sign you up into my program of making you more conformed to the image of Jesus because that's your hope. Well, this is what I'm going to do. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. You know why you must consider it all joy? Because the trial is really a testing of what? Your faith. I started with this thing called faith that Santosh explained. And I said, God, give me dependence on you. I want to be dependent on you. And God says, good, you have faith. Well, how do we know if you have faith? Let's test it. That's what will happen tomorrow. That's what will happen later tonight. That's what will happen when you go to work on Monday. That faith, that dependence on God is going to be tested. Why? Because it must become strong. It must become perfect. The testing of your faith, God allows trials because He wants to test your faith. Like you test the purity of gold, like you take a test and an examination to test whether you have a correct understanding of it. In the same way, God tests your dependence. God allows trials to test our dependence on Him, knowing that the testing of your faith produces perfection. Correct? No. Wrong. A lot of us think that the objective of every trial is that we may achieve perfection. That we may achieve overcoming sin right away. No. The first step of testing of your faith is to produce endurance. If everything just came like that, you will have no endurance. And it's a difficult concept to get, but we must trust God's word. Oh, how I would love it if I could just, every trial could just be something where I could just be winning the victory all the time. It's not the reality in which we live. So I can only preach what I've experienced, that I know that the testing of my faith, the dependence of God, has had many fallings. But it's producing in me endurance. That's why when I say the biggest thing I try to tell young people is to get up. Because I think behind that get up, behind that crawling back to God is the concept of endurance. James chapter 1 verse 3, which is saying, get up, build up your endurance, and let endurance, verse 4, have its perfect result. There's a process through which endurance and endurance and endurance will have its perfect result. What is the perfect result? You will be perfect and complete. So now, if you didn't follow me, maybe I'll try to make it a little easier. You start with faith. Right? We all know what faith is. We spent two sessions on it. Dependence on God. We come to God tomorrow and say, God, I want to be dependent on you. And he says, here's my faith. God says, all right, we're going to send trials. Because trials is the mechanism by which God says, we're going to test your faith. It's a good litmus test for you and for me and for the devil and for everybody to know how good is your faith. That's called trial. Very important, very critical. Why does God allow sin in this world? Why does God allow us to be tempted? Right here. Here's your answer. Let this solve this question once and for all. I've got my dependence on God. God says, let's test it. Let's make it bigger and bigger. The way to test it is to send trials. And trials must build not victory over sin right away. I think some of us young people are so beat up and so discouraged because we think we didn't get victory, so we must be losers. We must be failures. He's trying, the Bible is crystal clear. The trials of testing of your faith is meant to give you endurance. Stick with Him. Stick with God. I don't know what else to say. The Bible says this. I hope you will believe it. Even if you didn't believe me when I was saying, just keep getting up. It's right here. The testing of your faith is not immediate victory. It's endurance. Endurance will make you perfect and complete. Let endurance have its perfect result, which is that you'll be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. I hope this message, I hope this truth will bring a lifting of a burden that's been all over many of you, which was a burden, including a big burden that was over me, thinking that every trial was a testing of my faith to immediately produce perfection. I thank God for James, where James said the testing of your faith is going to produce endurance. So my question to you is it producing endurance? And my answer looking at you is yes, because you're still here. To the people who don't come to church, who don't stick with God, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if they're on the pathway to perfection. They may say they have faith. They may say they're testing their faith. But I don't see endurance in them. I don't see them sticking with God. So to every one of you here, let me give this as a word of encouragement. You are on your way to being what? Perfect and complete if you endure. And also, it's so amazing, so that you understand, perfect and complete equals Jesus. So I'm tying it in now to my hope, because perfect and complete means just like Jesus, conform to the image of Jesus. He is perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So the end result of all trials, which is a testing of my faith, is an endurance, which leads me to be like Jesus. So you want to have hope to be, you want your hope to be more like Jesus? God says, sign on to this program. Trials are coming in Monday morning. Trials are coming in Sunday. They're coming at you because I've allowed it. Because I need to make you endure. I need to make you persevere. So tomorrow morning or Sunday, Monday morning or Tuesday morning, and you have this hope, God, I want to be more like Jesus, and you fall flat on your face, what are you going to say as a result of that testing of your faith? God, I didn't have dependence on God that I thought I did, but I am going to let this testing of my faith produce endurance, so I'm getting back up. And I'm going to run to you. And I say, God, next time it comes, I want to have more dependence on you. I want to have a better faith so that when it's tested, it proves to be true. And you fall again and you get up and say, God, that proves to me that I didn't depend on you enough. It doesn't prove to me that I've got to grit my teeth harder and I've got to clench my fist more. It just proves to me I'm not depending on you enough, God. I'm not going to you as broken people saying, I'm so weak. God, help me. My flesh is too strong. That's what I got to go to God and tell him. He's not telling you to grit your teeth and clench your fists and try harder. He's telling you, depend on me more. And if you fall again, it means you're not depending on God enough. Keep getting up, because that's going to be producing that hope, which is perfection and completion in everything. This James 1 through 2 through 4, this diagram has helped me tremendously, tremendously. This must sink in. Every young person, I think, must really have this sink in, realizing that this endurance is huge. This endurance is where most of you, including me, are stuck in right now. And that's okay. And some of us have gotten a little further on in endurance and have experienced what some people may call victory in certain areas. But that's just a pathway to perfection and completion. Some of us may have experienced victory in some sins, but we got plenty of areas where God's telling us to stick with endurance and to get up in. It may have been anger that I've dealt with. It may be a jealousy that I'm still dealing with. And maybe I'll be dealing with it enduring till I'm 38, 39. And God finally says, now you're getting it. Your faith, you're depending on me so much with this jealousy issue, I can bring up the next issue that you need to deal with. We're all enduring. So don't have this impression that some of us have attained some big victory over sin. We're all in different stages of enduring. One day we'll be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We'll have different areas where we've really conformed more to the image of Jesus. I want to complement that with one other passage which says the same thing. Now, this is what James said. I want to complement it with what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. And it's interesting because this ties in faith with hope more directly, and I want to kind of go through that and again supplement what we saw. I want to supplement this picture of faith, which is trials, which is the testing of my faith leading to endurance, which will make me perfect and complete, with what Paul says in Romans chapter 5. And I'll draw another diagram, so stick with me as we go through what Paul says in Romans chapter 5 verses 1 through 5. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, I hope all of you know that because of what Jesus did and his finished work on the cross, when we come to God, we come clothed in the righteousness of God, fully justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Because we've been justified because of our dependence on God, not our own righteousness. Whenever you read faith, replace it by dependence on God. Therefore, having been justified by dependence on God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by dependence on God into this grace which we stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Our goal, God, I want your glory. I want you, Christ, to be formed in me. We exult. We're like, God, I hope the message that you can be conformed to the image of Jesus is a message of great joy. I hope there's a spirit of joy that gets in you that says, God, you tell me that I can be just like your son, Jesus. This is an amazing gospel. I exult with joy. Not, God, this is unbelievably hard. What are you thinking? Could you make it an easier way? No, I exult. God, you gave me a pathway to be just like you. I don't deserve this. We exult with joy. That's the hope. Not only that, this. Oh, we exult. Same language as in James. Consider it all joy. Paul says here, we exult. You see, the apostles, the writers of the New Testament, knew how critical trials were. And that's one thing I want to impress on you. Do not despise trials. Trials are the only pathway to perfection. So don't complain when God sends you trials. See it as unbelievable opportunities, because that's God's way of saying, I'm trying to show you the metal of your faith. Don't think of it as a negative. Think of it as the great opportunity that God is trying to send to you through trials and tribulations. This is what Paul and James are saying. Exult. Why do we exult? Because we love pain? No, not because we love pain. Because we know that tribulation, trial, same thing, brings about the same word again. Perseverance, endurance. Paul and James were obviously inspired by the same Holy Spirit. Not surprising. And perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. Paul introduces one more stage in between. Let me go back here. Paul introduces one more stage between endurance, which is perseverance, and perfection and complete, which I called hope. He calls it proven character, and we'll talk about that. He says perseverance creates proven character, and proven character creates hope. Hope, we shall be like Jesus. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God. Hope will never disappoint because it's God's love that has been poured ahead. The hope of being like Him will never disappoint you. That's similar to what I said earlier, saying all other kinds of hopes, that I can make $1 million, that I can marry the beautiful girl, or all these things, that will disappoint. Having the number of children that I wanted, all of those things will disappoint. The one thing that doesn't disappoint is hope. The hope that we have, which is Christ in us. Because God's been so loving towards us and given us His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit will help us. So I want to draw this diagram again from Romans chapter 5 verses 1 through 5. This is the diagram we're going to stop with. So if you stuck so far, hang on. This is the last diagram. No more diagrams. You thought you left diagrams back in college. One more diagram, hopefully. That's it. Let's stick with what Romans chapter 5 verse 1 through 5 is. He's saying, exult in trials and tribulations. Now we know what trials and tribulations from James chapter 1 verse 2. What is tribulations? The testing of my faith, right? We know we started with faith. We know that tribulations is the testing of my faith. Paul says that tribulations creates perseverance or endurance. Same word. What does perseverance create? According to Paul says, hey, look, there's something in between perfection. This thing called proven character. And proven character results in hope. Now this is a concept that I want to underline very clearly. The testing of my faith is tribulations that creates in me perseverance. I want to address this word that a lot of you use, which is called victory over sin. Okay? A lot of you want to have victory over sin. How does victory over sin look? To me, victory over sin looks like proven character. And the important thing to know that, proven character is God. My character has been proven. My godly character has been proven. I've been proven that the sin, I've gotten victory over. That's how I look at proven character. When we desire victory over sin, we're desiring proven character. But the gospel of Jesus is not that we have a bunch of Christians who have proven character. we have a bunch of Christians who have hope of Christ to be reflected in me. I don't want to have proven character. I don't want to be this well-respected person with all these character that's proven. All of that, all of my proven character is just a stepping stone to produce in me this hope of Christ to be revealed in me. Is the most sanitized, perfected view of Sandeep shown through me? No. Christ must be revealed in me. God, I don't want any ambition of my own. I don't want any desire of my own. I just want Christ to be revealed. If Christ is lifted up, He will draw all men. If the perfected Sandeep is lifted up, there's no verse for that. I don't know what I'll draw. I'll draw a cult. But if Christ is lifted up, if that hope is lifted up, then Christ is glorified. This is also an answer. Let me give you this. This is an answer to many people who ask me, what do all religions say the same thing? All religions just tell you to be good people. All religions just tell you have to be good and kind and have good virtues and be very morally upright. I say no. The Christian gospel is not about finally being morally upright. What's the difference between the way Gandhi and Buddha had it and the way I intend to live my life? I look at that and I say, I can say for a fact that Gandhi and Buddha had proven character. Yes, I am not living for proven character. I am living for Christ to be revealed in me. I don't know what their hope was. Was their hope that Gandhi would be the most perfect person? Would Gandhi be that? Was Buddha saying that Buddha will be all that? I don't want Sandeep to be all that. I want Christ to be revealed through me. I must hide in Christ so that Christ is completely shining through me. That's what keeps me really humble in my victory over sin. That is why the testing of my dependence on God will ultimately result in God shining through, not me shining through. This is such a key concept for us to understand, that the tribulations, the testing of my faith, is going to produce endurance, perseverance, that after some time will produce victory over sin. It'll produce proven character. But the proven character is not where you must end. The proven character will give you pride. The proven character will make you proud. Proven character will disappoint. The only thing that doesn't disappoint is hope. A hope that Christ is everything to us, that we are devoted to Christ. The trials of my faith create a perseverance that create me to have all kinds of victory over sin, that increases my devotion to God. What am I saying then? You want to have more devotion to God? Start being faithful to endure. That's it. Do you want to have a greater revelation of God? You want to be more devoted to God? When the tribulations start coming, endure. Persevere. Try to stay dependent on God, but when you fall, get up. When the enemy pushes you down, when the trials push you down, get up and say, God, I again want to be dependent on you. Time is on God's hand. You don't have to worry about how long it takes. Leave that to God's hand. Let God hear a consistent cry from your heart. God, I am not going to give up until you give me a greater devotion to you. And as we start to build on this perseverance, that has been my testimony. As I started to build in my perseverance, I've started to have areas where I can say I have some sort of semblance of proven character, which you may, I could also call victory over sin. But the devil's next temptation is to say, you're good now. You've got proven character. But the message of Jesus is say, don't stop there. So for you, those of you who have experienced some level of victory over sin, and I think there are some of you from conversations that I've had, there are people who have experienced growth in 2009. Don't be fooled by proven character thinking that the end result. That's not the end. The end result is a more and more devotion to God. That's hope. Devotion to God. You know what Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3? I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve, what? You may be led astray from having proven character? From having endurance? No, from having a simple, pure devotion. This was the way humans first sinned, was because they lost devotion. This is when we go astray because we lose our goal, which is God and only you, and you are my everything, and you are my only desire, and I'm not going to just sing it on Sunday, I'm going to mean it every day of the week, and my life is going to show that you are my only desire. And I buy things that I'm going to need, and I'm going to educate myself in order to support a family, and I'm going to try and learn what I can to be able to raise my family in this world, but my goal, my only goal is you. And it's for you to be formed in me. You must increase and I must decrease. Not I must increase. God, you must increase. I am so devoted to you that you must increase. And the fundamental sin that is going to take you away from this goal, which is God and God alone, is going to be the same temptation that the serpent deceived Eve with. You don't have to follow the Bible exactly. You don't have to take sin so seriously. God's not going to treat you that badly. He's a loving Father. God doesn't love you. Otherwise, He'd have given you all things for you to enjoy. What are these tribulations? It's proved that God doesn't. I mean, God, why didn't God make it easier? How come I'm still struggling with this sin? I should have done it. Maybe this whole methodology doesn't work. Maybe I don't have the Holy Spirit. Maybe I'm not born again. Maybe this isn't all working. God's word can't be true. Similar to the temptation that Eve was given by the serpent. Simplicity and purity of devotion to Jesus. That's what's going to be at stake when you're going to be tempted. That's the first thing to slip. You may be ending up there. This is where you're supposed to go. Maybe you may be ending up there, but you want to go to the. You want to do what's called a root cause analysis. You want to go to the root of what went wrong. Somewhere you made a decision that you didn't want God and God alone, that was not your only hope. You wanted something else as well, or you wanted something else instead. And that's when you kept going to church and you kept going doing things and all of that, but you were starting to die. Spiritual death sunk in. Devotion to Jesus. This is where I want to ask you to be contemplative. I don't know if you want to journal. I don't know if you want to discuss this. But this is very, very important for you to understand. This devotion to Jesus is something that you must determine in your heart. You must decide as you journal in your heart. But now, when you come on Monday morning, this is the pathway. Jesus, I want you to be more attractive to me than sin. And the proof that you are going to be more attractive than sin is that I'm going to leave you as my hope. Because you are my hope, working backwards, I'm going to expect that at some point I'm going to have proven character, victory over sin. If I'm going to have victory sometime, I know that means I must not grit my teeth. I must just persevere. I must keep getting up and going back to God. And I know that the way to do that, the way that's going to happen, is when trials hit me. So every time a trial hits you, look at it and say, God, you are testing my faith. And a pretty girl walks by and you lust after her and you just are caught up with imagining things with her. And you then say, God, my faith is nowhere. I didn't even ask you for help because I really preferred to hang out with her. Thank you, God, for showing me that my faith is pretty bogus. I sang all these things. I wrote things in my journal, but I really don't depend on you. Here's what I'm going to do, God. I'm getting up. Next time when the girl's starting to walk by, help me to pray to you. Help me to ask you for help. Help me to depend on you. I can do all these tricks to do it here and there, but I really want to fight this the right way by depending on you. I want to fix my eyes on you, Jesus. I'm not going to avoid sin. I'm going to look at you. I'm going to take this opportunity knowing that I must persevere and start looking at you. And proven character will come, but I'm not going to be fooled by proven character. I'm not going to be fooled by victory over sin because I'm not in it for victory over sin. How many of you are in it for victory over sin? Don't put your hands up because that's not the end result. Please don't set your sights on victory over sin. Victory over sin is great. Victory over sin is not the goal. The goal is Christ. Christ, you are my bridegroom. Victory over sin is just a way to be more conformed to the image of Jesus. But Jesus, you are my goal. You, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's a relationship with Jesus. It's not about religion of good works. It's not proven character, it's relationship. It's a devotion to God. This is what the message of the gospel is. This is what our hope is. And this is how we get to grow stronger and stronger in our hope. I hope you'll keep this in front of you. I hope you'll keep these four steps. And I want to ask you that question. Where are you at? Some of you are dealing with things of your faith. All of you are dealing with testing of your faith. Some of you are not even persevering. Some of you are just lying on the ground. Some of you are just sitting thinking, God, I'm done getting up. I want to encourage you to get back up. It's easy. It's easy. It's not difficult to get back and up and go back to God. It's not difficult. Trust me. I've done it, and I know many people who've told me that they can do it. They can't get victory over sin. Don't try to get victory over sin. Try to go back to God. Just persevere in going back to God. Just persevere in going back to God and asking God for help again and again and again and again. And some of you are going to God, but you haven't seen proven character. You must ask God with faith that God will give you a way out. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overcome man that which is common to man. He will provide a way out. God, I am missing the way out. I'm persevering and I'm getting up, but I'm keeping on getting angry. What is the way out? Ask God with faith to show you a way out. It's close down that internet. That may be the way out. It may be, don't eat too much late at night. That could be it. It could be, get enough sleep. You're up till 2 in the morning, you get up at 6 and you wonder why it's so difficult. Just get some sleep, man. Take care of your body. It could be something as simple as that. It could be something like, seek more fellowship with people who really love Jesus. Go and schedule an appointment with that elder who you know loves Jesus. Go and bug him and say, I want a coffee because I want to find this. And once you start getting proven character, there's a great deception that you will eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And you'll say, I'm eating of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. I know good and evil. I'm good. I ate of the fruit. I know what's good and I know what's evil. And I got proven character and I'm good. beware of the devil's temptation there. Those of you who started to get proven character, maybe this is a health check to say, proven character is not the goal. The goal is God, you, and you alone. So often check yourself with your goal. God, is it only about you? I only want to be about you. I want you to be formed in me. I don't want Sandeep to be a rock star. I don't want Sandeep to be a sports star. I don't want Sandeep to be an incredible preacher of God's word. I don't want Sandeep to be a missionary to a part of the world that has never written. I don't want some song or some book to be written about me. I don't want my sayings to be put in a book and said, wow, he wrote such great thoughts. I want to be devoted to Christ. That's my goal. Nobody needs to write a book about me. Nobody needs to ever read any of my books. Nobody needs to read any, listen to any of my sermons. I don't even need to preach a sermon because I'm just devoted to God. All of the else, if God wants to give it, He'll create the door. If not, I'm not stressing over it. He'll give me a job good enough for me to support my needs. He'll take care of all of my needs. I don't have to worry about it. I just want you, Christ. I just want you like a bride wants the bridegroom. Like the bride of Christ wants Christ. I want you. I have my eyes for you, God. Nothing else. Whom have I in heaven but you? There is no one on earth I desire but you. That's the hope that we're supposed to have. Let's keep renewing that hope. Let's keep renewing that hope, God. And fellowship should be about that. People who are renewing the commitment to that hope. I hope that many Wednesday meetings will be that. Not spouting off what you learned through God's word, even though that is good. But that behind all of that, that what God is teaching you, you may say, God, is that going to increase my devotion to you? Or is this just a cute little thought? God, I want to share something that will inspire people to be more devoted to Jesus. That's my goal and what I'm going to share on Wednesday night. And that you will be bold to share that. Because you know how hard it is. How the world keeps battering you to not look at Jesus and Jesus alone. And you've made it from Sunday through Wednesday. And God's encouraged you. And you know how your brothers and sisters may be really fighting hard. So you say, God, I will do my part. And I will share what helped me stay devoted to you. I hope you will be that way. Let me give you one more picture about what fellowship is. I shared it with some people. This is what fellowship is. You ready for this? It's deep. Fellowship. Two fellows on a ship. You get it? One this side. Two fellows on a ship. How do we get the ship to go somewhere? We have to row. If I'm doing all the rowing and he's not doing any rowing, you're just going to go around in one big circle. If I'm doing all the rowing, if he's doing all the rowing and I'm not doing any of the rowing, you're going to go in another round, big circle. Fellowship is both of you have to move. So when you fellowship with somebody else, you are very interested in making sure that he too is rowing. Not, is he making more money than you? Or are you making more money than him? Have you got a cuter haircut? Or does she have a cuter haircut? Or I got this cool little gadget. Or he's got a cool little gadget. Are we rowing? You can talk about all those other things. Feel free to talk about all that. That's fine. But fellowship is we're on a ship. And we're two fellows. Or we're five fellows. Girls, boys, whatever. We have to be rowing. Because we've got devotion to God. We've got Christ-likeness. We've got conformed to the image of Christ in mind. And I can row as hard as I like, but God says you need... Believe me, you need help. You need other fellows on the ship to help you. If you consider CFC to be like a ship, you're only going to go as far as how everybody else is rowing. You can be paddling as hard as you want, but the ship's going to be slowed down if everybody's slowing down. That's why you need to get up and start sharing with humility, but with a passion that I want to be devoted to Christ and I know how hard it is. I want you to come with me. I need you. I often sign off my emails to people who write emails that I'm a fellow pilgrim. It's a meaningful word to me because it's so important to me. I could say I'm a fellowshipper with you, if they would understand what that means. But that's what pilgrim means. I am this guy in this lost world where I feel so out of place. And I'm a pilgrim trying to go to home, which is Christ. And you and me are just fellow strugglers. And God showed me something of Him. He's not shown you that. Let me show it to you. But I want you to show me something of Christ too. I need all the help that I can get. And God, that's why God gave me you. But we come on Wednesdays and we don't have this hope set. So we're discouraged every week. Look, I'm not here every Wednesday to convince you that I have to check on you to see if you're testifying. I'm trying to tell you why the elders tell you to speak. And I'm trying to tell you why what the elders are trying to get you to speak about. It's not, let me just sign off the obligation. I spoke every Wednesday, so I'm wholehearted brother and I'm wholehearted sister, so I'll be invited to next year's camp too. Whew. Now, I don't know if I didn't testify, I don't know if I'd be invited to the camp. That's the reason why you testify. No. It's because we're shipmates. We're trying to get the ship going somewhere. We need you to row. We need you to row. Every one of you. I wish I could look you each in the eye and say, we need you to row. Too. And we need you to pick up the person who's rowing slowly because he's had a tough week. Maybe his mother is sick. Maybe his boss is giving him a hard time. And my boss is just so nice to me. You need to help him. When one member of the body suffers, you suffer too. The guy's arm is sore. Well, help him out. Have we had this picture of this kind of devotion to Jesus that all of us have? That when you have this testing of my faith, I say, look, are you persevering? Just persevere. Just get up. Just get up. Just get up. I'm feeling really down. I'm feeling discouraged. Just get up. Get up. Come. Let me come to your place. Let's go out. Let's have a cup of coffee. Let me treat you out to dinner. Let's go play some games. Let's do something. Get up, though. Get up. Don't worry about proven character. It'll come. It'll come. We keep depending on God. One day you'll wake up and be like, man, it looks like I've heard testimonies from that this camp. If you don't believe me, other brothers here who said, I used to be struggling with this, but I dealt with this one besetting sin that I heard your message on, and I seem to be experiencing victory now. Praise God that you've gotten this kind of stories coming out of this group. You rest of you need to hear that if you're still stuck with period perseverance. There are people who are experiencing that because God is saying, it's time. Proven character is starting to come on. If you're not yet there, keep persevering. Don't give up on God. Keep your devotion to God. Ask God, has anything else come in that is that distracted you from it? Brothers and sisters, I've done the best I can to try and impress on you what has been so revolutionary for me. If you're being tested by your faith, just persevere. And expect proven character to develop slowly. But don't be fooled by that. Keep your hope always in the back. That's the goal. Behind every testing, think of the goal, which is, God, I want to be devoted to you. So I'm going to persevere. That's the biggest, consider this the biggest sin you could ever do, that you could not be devoted to Christ. I think that's maybe the way to look at 2 Corinthians 11:3. This is the biggest sin I could commit, because the greatest sin ever committed I could think of is Adam. It was perfect. But God deceived. And there's perfection. The way sin came in was because Eve decided to not be devoted to God. So God, I want to be devoted to you, so I'm going to persevere, trying to be devoted to you, trying to be devoted to you. If I fall, I'm going to get up, because I'm sticking with looking at you. And you'll wake up one day and you'll start to see, God, you're actually starting to bring me victory. That sight, I haven't been on for a while. That feeling of insecurity, I don't feel that much anymore, because I've kept getting up. I've stopped listening to what other people say to me, or what I need to tell me what I need to be like, or what I don't need to be like. That doesn't seem to be bothering me. Why? Because you just keep getting up. And then you'll say, God, I don't know how it happened. I said, I don't know what had happened, but just God helped. I kept depending on God, and God just came through. That we hear that testimony from so many people. God kept me from falling. I don't know how it happened. I just kept going back to Him and saying, God, I want you. Do you have any questions? This is a message that's supposed to be a rubber hits the road. It's supposed to be, this is what you have to take with you into the daily lives. All these abstract concepts of devotion to God can sound so great on paper. This is, you're starting with trials, which every one of you can, if I had asked you to write up, what are your trials? You all write it down. That's where I'm starting with. I really need you to grab a hold of this. This should eliminate all discouragement. Because if you are getting up, you should be mightily encouraged. I heard an expression that says, a saint is a sinner who gets up. Then call yourself a saint. I think you're on the way to sainthood. If you're persevering. Be mightily encouraged. If you're persevering. Be mightily encouraged, every one of you. Lift your head up. Lift your head up. There's a sense of false humility that can be like, I'm not. You're persevering. You're on the pathway to proven character. Keep your eye on Jesus and lift your head up. You're persevering. Let me give you as much of a boost I can. Don't be all down about yourself. Yes, there's a place for humility. Yes, there's a place for mourning. But be encouraged that you're on the pathway to devotion to Jesus, and greater devotion to Jesus, where your faith is getting more and more strong, where your dependence on God is getting more and more deeper, till one day you'll be perfect, complete, and God will say, time to come home. No more trials for you now anymore. Time to come home. You're perfect and complete. I'm not trying to tease you. I was just trying to get your faith perfect and complete. Some of us have wasted all the trials so far, but 20. I wasted a lot of trials till I was 30. I got so many less years. I've got to make up for lost time. You who are 17, oh, you're so lucky if you'll grab a hold of this. Believe me, when your faith has been tested and you're totally dependent on God, God will call you home. Like He did with Elijah. Like He did with Jesus. Done. You completed everything. You served your purpose. My purpose, your goal was to be like Jesus, and you've come as close as I needed you to get. You've proved so faithful in all these trials. Time to come home, son, daughter of mine. Time to come home. Let that be the day when you say, God, I'm ready to come home. God, keep me on this earth until this is proven. Character is built up such a devotion to you. And God says, you're so close to me right now. You're so connected with me. Come on up. It's just a small step for you anyways. Any questions, please? Please, I need to make sure that all of you understand where you are in that. And that this becomes a cycle. And if maybe you have a devotion to God that really transcends your anger issue, then there's some other issue that you're still kind of in this process with. None of us are perfect. None of us have dealt with all of our issues. Some of us may have gone a little further with our issues, but all of us are dealing somewhere. And maybe all of us are in different points of this whole flow chart with different sins, if you know what I mean. With the lust of the eyes, some of us may be in pure perseverance. With the lust of getting angry, some of us may be in the pure proven character stage, and some temptations we actually may be just so devoted to God that say, God, this is not going to mess with me. What is this? What do you feel like doing? Do you feel like journaling? Do you feel like discussing? Would you like some time alone to write down some thoughts that God may be speaking to you, or you want to talk to some other people? You want to write down? Okay, let's write down. Again, this is between you and God. Journal, make some decisions. I hope you have some encouragement to pick up from this. God, I'm sorry I didn't get your plan. I've been cursing you. I've been blaming you, thinking that your word doesn't make sense. I didn't read your word. I demanded victory over sin, thinking that proven character was just going to happen. I didn't realize you were first trying to create in me patience, the fruit of the spirit of patience. You were trying to create in me the endurance. I didn't realize it. God, I'm sorry. I want this patience. I want this endurance. Let endurance have that perfect work till I'm proven. I have proven character. I'll wait, God. I'm not giving up on you. Be personal in your journals to Jesus. He is your bridegroom who's calling you. I wish I could paint that picture of that bridegroom who's calling his bride out of the world, out of the sin, and saying, come with me. Come and dine. Like Brother Selvam said, come and dine with me. Maybe all of you, as you journal, have breakfast with Jesus and let him talk to you. I hope this writing exercise becomes a habit. Jesus has so much to tell you. He has so much to tell you. As you write, you will hear him speak to you. As you think about him, you'll hear him speak to you. He will first tell you that he loves you. Don't listen to any other voice that doesn't first tell you that he loves you. The voice of God always tells you that he's compassionate, long-suffering, full of mercy. Old Testament, New Testament, it doesn't matter. He's a good God. He's going to tell you he loves you. You're his chosen one. He desires you deeply. Then he may tell you whatever you need to do to fix your problem. But first, listen to the voice of God. And I want you to look up. Not now. In your spirit, look up and see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, encouraging you on, telling you, don't give up. Don't give up now. You're so close. Don't give up on me. I have never let you down. This is the way. I'm trying to create in you the fruit of the spirit of patience. You must go through this. This is the only way. You wanted me. This is the way you're going to get me. Stick with me. You're not out of my hands. I've got you right in my sight. I'm coming quickly. It'll be over soon. Be faithful. Complete what is lacking in you. Do those little things. This is the voice of Jesus. I believe I have the mind of Christ when I say that. He wants you to be like him. He, more than anybody else, wants you to be conformed into his image. He's on your side. That is why you must go off into him. Like prayer equals breathing, then we must just talk to him often. We can't do it on our own, so let's be dependent on him. That's faith. But let's become devotees. He's a good friend to have. He's a good confidant. He's a great bridegroom. You all must switch to seeing this bridegroom that's standing up looking at you, hoping that you may be part of that bride. Oh, how he wants you to be that. How he longs for you and I to be faithful. So I've heard so many great testimonies about 2009, and it so encourages me. And I want 2010 to be better. And we must all keep pressing forward. This is the heart of Christ. So when I preach the heart of Christ, I believe I'm right on track. I don't have to worry if I'm preaching the right doctrine or not, because I believe this is the heart of Christ. He wants you to stick with him through many trials. Proven character will come. Your devotion to God will increase. Just persevere. Let's bow our heads. And let's commit what we've written in our journals. Let's commit all our deep longings and desires which I believe every one of you have. You want it to get even better in 2010. I am convinced of it. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I hope that it will happen. That Jesus will be more beautiful to you this next year. Jesus, we have seen a little bit of your face tonight. We have seen a clearer idea of what trials are meant for and how they are imperative. They are absolutely necessary for us to be who we need to be, the bride of Christ. That is your way of purifying us. Father, please forgive us for minimizing it, for belittling these trials, thinking of it as pains in our side. Lord, we did not understand the purpose of it. Lord, we want to consider it all joy when these trials come. Even though we know we may fall at times, we know it's producing the very thing you need to produce in us. Creating those of us perseverance, Lord, in whatever sin that you're dealing with, that they are still stuck with perseverance and they're planning to give up. Lord, sustain them. In some other sin where they are starting to experience poor in character, Lord, help them to drive in further to see that the victory over sin is not the goal, but it is you, Lord, and devotion to you. That is our hope. That is our goal. That Christ may be formed in us. That Christ may be in us. Not that we may be the most sanitized version of ourselves. Lord, by and by, when I look at your face, I'll wish I had given you more. Lord, I have seen your face tonight. Lord, we have seen your face tonight. I want to give you more today. More than I've ever given before. That besetting sin, Lord, today is coming. I'm giving that to you, Lord. That issue that's plagued me for so many years, that's coming to the altar today, Lord. I've seen your face, so I want to give you more. I've given you already some, I want to give you more. Father, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us. We are a needy people. We are so blind in so many ways. You've been so gracious to us. Lord, we have not seen your so encouraging and beautiful face encouraging us on. We've made this religion harder than it was meant to be. Father, forgive us and help us to do whatever we can. And Father, forgive us for not realizing that we're on a ship. We've not taken care of our shipmates. We've not valued fellowship. We've not valued the Wednesday meetings like we should. God, we may have let some of our brothers and sisters fall away to lukewarmness because we didn't pick them up like we could have. We didn't share the hope that was supposed to be inside of us. Lord, make 2010 different. We don't want to share bright ideas. We want to share our hope. We want to be devotees of you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you'll do this work in us. You will. You really will. I have no doubt, Lord, that you will do this in this people here. Help them, Lord, to be united with one another and to give them a vision of the ship that they can pick one another up, that they can row with one another like they should. Father, I beg you, Lord, have mercy on us. Open our eyes that we may keep this vision in front of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.